This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Wapagan Umpagay Pagan alongside Ian McNally. We have a very special guest joining us today. He is our Killer Shark correspondent. Megspert.
Oh, nice.
Megspert, okay, I like that.
Thank you. Yeah. Ong Kian Meng, who, you know, apparently he is also the Deputy Minister for International Trade and Industry.
That's my, maybe my day job.
That's the day job.
I won't give it up anytime soon.
By night, however, he joins us for movie screenings every once in a while. Actually, in particular for this one, I remember when the trailer came out, you were excitedly tweeting about it.
Yes, because I read the book way back in 1997 and 98 when it first came out. So you can say I've been waiting for 20 years for this movie.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know,
I'm sorry.
I've been walking past it in airports for 20 years. I'm not picking it up.
Yeah, but thanks for inviting me here. I'm really thrilled because I've been a big fan of the movies and, you know, big fan of Uma and Ian for quite some time now.
Hey, I have to say, Kian Meng was a follower of the show when, you know, nobody was listening.
You mean people are listening now?
Apparently. Oh. It's more than just you.
Okay.
And my mother, you know.
And Bahia's mother and your girlfriend.
Yeah, my girlfriend doesn't listen.
But yes, the movie we're talking about today is, of course, The Meg, directed by John Turteltaub. He is, of course, the man responsible for National Treasure, Cool Runnings, Phenomenon, The Kid. It is based on a series of novels by Steve Alton.
Based loosely.
Sorry. Kian Meng actually has in front of us his well-thumbed reads. These look very, very old. The pages are browning.
I'm sure you're going to take pictures of it later and post
I'm
it on
sure the, I you know, will.
Social media.
Yeah. The movie stars Jason Statham, Ruby Rose, Lee Bingbing, Rainn Wilson, Cliff Curtis. The novel is actually called Meg, a novel of deep terror. It was released in 1997, and the plot is incredibly simple. In five words, Jason Statham fights monstrous shark.
Yep.
That's pretty much it. There is an underwater research facility that is funded by an American billionaire, but headed by Chinese scientists and their incredibly diverse group of lackeys.
In a movie produced by what seems to be only a single Chinese production company.
And not seven, yeah, like we get these days. And they're researching nonsense science.
At the bottom of the Philippines Trench, right?
The Mariana's Trench.
Is it Mariana's? I thought they said they were the Philippines Trench or something. Like that. No, something different.
No, it was supposed to be the Mariana's Trench in this book. But they discovered this new trench that is closer to China.
Ah,
that is why they did. And they come upon a prehistoric creature who threatens the seven seas and holidaying blondes in bikinis.
Yeah.
Also, when I say nonsense science, there's actually a line in the movie which goes, "Are you saying we've opened up a superhighway for giant sharks?"
That worked for me. There's a thermocline, which
there's
is like
yes.
There's a thermocline of cold, freezing water keeping a lower, warmer temperature water separate from the rest of the ocean, and that lets these monster sharks go. That's great.
Which
that
is
makes
the plot
sense.
Of Piranha.
Yeah, is it?
Oh. Yes. Similar.
To be fair to Ian, I think there is some science there in the sense that when I was reading the book, at least, there are supposed to be these, you know, very hot vents that are coming up from, you know, where there's a trench, there's, you know, tectonic.
It's the Lost World style thing. It's like, exactly, what is the barrier that keeps the dinosaurs from the rest of the world? And you have that in this. And then any other science they come up with, they kind of got a little bit of the gist of it and then kind of threw that away. So when you're going that deep, you need a solid metal submarine with really tiny windows. And they even come up with a brilliant way of showing what's outside. They have these kind of VRH HUD elements.
Yes.
So the what's outside is projected on the inside of the submarine. All this clever thought went into how this submarine will work and work cinematically. And then they put somebody in a big glass bubble and just send them down no problem, which is going to get crushed within seconds. Anyone who's seen any submarine movie would know this.
Now, before we get into what we really think about the movie, I think, Kian Meng, 2 decades you've been waiting for this. And this is a movie that has been stuck in development hell for about 20 years as well.
And I've been following the progress of that development process closely.
You were laughing throughout the film, but I don't think they were... I don't think it was joyous laughter.
I don't think we weren't laughing with the film. We were mostly laughing at it, right?
Yeah, I told my wife, I'm going to keep my expectations low because, you know, I don't want to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I think I went in knowing that, you know, I had the company of Uma and Ian with me, and that would have been sufficient for me for that night.
How low were your expectations in the trench itself? Were they? They were so low?
They were pretty low, and I think the trailer captured probably the most exciting parts of the movie.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So, disappointed, all in all?
Disappointed, and, you know, I would use this one word to describe that movie, forgettable, you know, because we watched it on Monday, and yeah. Now I've forgotten most of the highlights already. And the characters. I think the characters were very, very funny.
There's only one. There's only two characters. Just Jason Statham and a giant shark, right?
No, I think the little girl stole the show.
Oh, yes. She was very good as well,
yeah,
actually.
So obviously the Chinese scientists have a little girl in it because, you know, when you're creating any disaster movie like Jurassic Park or Twister or any
kids.
One of these films, you got to have a little kid. And to be fair, this Chinese kid was absolutely adorable.
Yes.
She had all of the best lines.
Just cast herself and Statham in some kind of buddy movie and we're away. Just the two of them for 2 hours would be way...
Cast away and then fighting sharks on an isolated island, you know.
That could work. Yeah.
Screenplay alert! Yeah. The problem is we've got every single shark movie cliche in this movie. It doesn't really venture into any new territory. Everything you've seen before, really. And it's not as dramatic as Jaws, but it isn't as schlocky as Sharknado either. Mm. It's not good enough.
Which
neither
I'm a fan
is
of.
It.
Sharknado,
yeah,
I've seen
right.
all. I've seen all, yes.
Neither
Mark
is
Cuban,
it bad
know.
Enough. I mean, if this movie was truly bad, like the Sharknado kind of bad, I think I would have enjoyed it. I like Piranha.
It would have been more memorable.
It would have been. Yes.
I think, though, that Statham thinks he's in that movie. Like, everything, every time he's on screen, it's brilliant.
No, he's like hamming it up, but
yeah,
you know,
he knows exactly the tone, and so does the little kid because her comedy level is on a par with that. But like the beginning of this movie is like a 5 minute recap of The Abyss almost. Like they rescue, well, first of all, there's a rescue, then there's another rescue
with much worse special effects.
Yeah, but it's so breakneck and so fast that, like, you know, Rainn Wilson's character introduced, and you're expecting smarmy Steve Jobs kind of thing, and it's all staccato beat or something. It doesn't feel like anyone gets any time to breathe.
Rainn Wilson from The Office, yeah, who's the billionaire.
Yeah, yes. He doesn't get... It felt like it was like an exposition dump. Super, like everyone, here's the... I built the ships that you're hanging on. I did this, you know, you're going down there. I'm the ex-wife of this person. Everything is just like dumped on you. And then it slows down when Statham's there. So he gets to say the funny lines and give it a beat. No one else gets those beats at the beginning.
We were talking about this as soon as we stepped out of the cinema, and we couldn't understand the editing of this film because there was so much in this movie where it felt like the camera would pan to someone, they would pause for a second, and then deliver the line.
Mm. It just made the dialogue even worse than it really was.
Yeah, it was already stilted.
Yes.
And for some reason, the timing just didn't work either.
But I think once it reached the halfway point, that settled down a lot and it seemed to know what it was doing. It just felt like it. Maybe it's because they had to get elements from the book in there or something. The book is more about a rescue, right?
No, actually, the book is pretty good because there were, you know...
It's pretty good, is it?
You know, it's... Hey, he's read all of
them. Yes, exactly. You know, it's really, you know, it's a thrill ride, and yeah, it's something that I can go back to, you know, when I, you know, want to have something little less heavy for my brain to digest. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of moments of tension in the book, which I think was not captured in the movie.
Yeah, there was no tension in the
movie. Oh, no, he's right. The prologue of the first book, which I've started reading actually since watching the film, is set in the prehistoric era with the T-Rex being taken out by the Megalodon. Mm. And there's a lot of tension in that prologue. Mm. It's actually quite well written.
Yes, and you know, for the main character who's played by Jason Statham, Jonas Taylor, he has a much more stronger scientific basis. Mm. He has he's got a PhD in oceanography, and he was on this quest to try to find out for himself whether Meg is really something, a figment of his imagination, or did it really exist.
Mm. Meanwhile, in this movie, it's all about a group of people trying to figure out the best way to kill this thing.
Yeah. And he's got a PhD in getting stuff done, basically. Like, he rescues people super fast, at double speed. And he gets in the water when no one else needs to get in the water. There's a great line he has where he's, like, just about to get in the water with the giant shark. And he's basically, I'm an idiot. And that That to me was the point, the kind of turning point. I was like, I'm on board now.
And he knows that he's an idiot.
Yeah. And Jason Statham knows that Jonas Taylor knows that he's an idiot. And that kind of reflexiveness worked for me then. I was kind of like, okay, this is goofy fun now.
But goofy fun, but still forgettable though. I mean, you know, there are movies that are wittily handled pulp, yeah. right? And we like those. We like Snakes on a Plane. We like Deep Blue Sea.
Yes.
You know, they're just fun films and those characters are memorable. In this one...
Who's the main character in Deep Blue Sea?
Oh, it's clearly...
Thomas Jane is...
Well, I was going to say clearly LL Cool J and the Parrot.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. yes.
Frankenshark eating them? Come on.
Yeah. No one remembers the name of the actress who actually played the lead in that movie. We had this conversation before and we forgot her name. The thing I'm getting is, I think I'm only remembering the bits with Jason Statham in it and the shark. I've actually forgotten the rest of it.
Because it's so forgettable, yeah. right? I mean, you had certain sort of like, you know, you had to have that, the black guy, you had to have the Rain Wilson, you know, quote unquote evil, a billionaire. And then... the little kid, and the rest of them were like just shark fodder.
Yeah. Ruby Rose is playing Ruby Rose again.
You know, there is something about this book, though. I mean, it really was completely propelled by the internet in that the rights for the book were sold before the book even was published, mm-hmm. right? And then it had Jan de Bont attached to it, and he did Speed and Twister. Yes. He dropped out. And then, of course, I think... there was a movement to get Guillermo del Toro to do it at one point. And Steve Alton was really obsessed with getting this film out there. He even wrote a screenplay himself.
I think Guillermo del Toro would have been, you know, much better compared to what we had here.
Jason Statham may have fallen in love with the shark by the end of that movie. But no, I know what you mean, right? And apparently it was sustained pressure by people like you, Ken Ming. I believe they're called Megheads.
Yes, yes. There's a lot of us around, yes. You know, in the dark web.
And apparently it was sustained pressure from the internet that actually got movie studios interested. It was that and, of course, Jurassic Park. Yeah. It was after Jurassic Park that everyone thought, oh, look, here's a prehistoric shark movie. Kids love that stuff. We'll make a lot of money.
And one of the things that Steve Alton was really pushing for was that, look, it's not going to be one of those low-budget Antonio Sabato Jr. Shark Attack 2, which I've watched for, you know, for disclosure. And then, you know, he said... the effects are going to be really good. It's going to be, you know, something that's really compelling visually. But I got nothing of that.
There's the moment that's in the trailer of the shark attacking the Mana One base, which is a nice kind of, it really sets the scale. There is one kind of twist in it that did kind of work. But from the book, this is like a monster movie.
Yes.
Is the book not that? Is it more of a thriller or is it more of a...
There's the science element to it. Mm. There are very interesting and memorable characters in it, which I think was one of the reasons why, you know, you could have made this into a really good movie.
And did they lose an awful lot of those characters in the movie, or were they just kind of...
Yes, in the book, the main love interest is actually a Japanese lady. So obviously when the Chinese company is involved, you know, they're not going to have that angle, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you know, this is actually a series of books in this series, and you have moments of revisiting the Marianas Trench, different themes coming out, each becoming more outlandish. Another one is set in the Middle East, where they're trying to build a giant aquarium to accommodate some of these species that are found in this place. So, you know,
the megafauna.
Yes, exactly. You know, so there is something that it becomes more and more ludicrous, but in a very, very fun way. You know, and I can't imagine me wanting to watch the next one, although that may be Famous Last Words. You know,
I don't know if this is going to make enough money. Yeah, I think you might have to wait another 10 years until there's a HBO Game of Thrones style series about the Meg.
Jason Statham, you're absolutely right, is the only person who knows what kind of movie he's in. Everyone else thinks they're in different movies.
Oh, and Cliff Curtis as well, because he's always good. I don't know why. Cliff Curtis always stands out to me in movies. He's always right on the money when it comes to the tone.
Yeah, it feels like Masioka is in a melodrama. Ruby Rose, I don't know what she's doing.
The character Laurie might as well not be there. Like, I think some of the bulkheads have more screen time than she has.
Li Bingbing has really improved her command of the English language.
I remember her from Resident Evil, right?
That's right.
Do you remember her from... The Seventh Guardians?
I've heard about that movie, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's awful.
I avoided that, you know, even though I'm a sucker for these kinds of
I didn't realize it was still her because that she can speak English now. Like, it's not that it's improved. It was like, actually a moat. Like, there was some chemistry between
There was, actually. And, I and thought, Statham. At least between Statham and her, it didn't feel as forced as a lot of these... Well, forced casting tends to be, right? I don't think we can recommend this as a good movie, but... it's a bunch of fun at the cinema. Yeah. You may not remember it as soon as you've stepped out of
it's
the
like
cinema.
It's like popcorn, but...
yeah, it's yeah. just there.
We were, like, consistently laughing. And, like, at some of those points, we were the only ones laughing because there was such ludicrousness going on. So I think that's, it, you know, if you ever go to a comedy night where you don't get any laughs, it's the worst feeling. And if you get a good few laughs throughout the whole evening, that's a good feeling. That, yes. That's a good recommendation, yes. I think.
At least we had a fun time yeah. from that perspective.
You know what this is? This is an August movie. We haven't had an August movie for the longest time. So after the summer season ends, what usually happens is studios kind of dump these sorts of movies in August. And this one, I think, I mean, in the last few years, we've actually had very, very good movies coming out in August. But this one just feels like your prototypical August movie. Mm. Summer season's over. Just go check your brain at the door. Enjoy some of the states. And killer sharks, right?
Yeah. Before Predator comes in, is it?
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, with Shane Black doing Predator, I think that may have some gravitas to it, but we'll wait and see.
I'm keeping my expectations.
You're keeping your expectations low. Okay. Before we go, though, I have to say, you are obsessed with sharks and killer shark movies, but you're also a strong proponent of no sharks fin. So you're not promoting this issue of killing sharks.
Of course not. I think my interest in sharks made me aware that you know, the practice of finning is one that is very cruel and also unsustainable. And I've not eaten shark's fin for over 20 years since I was 15. Mm. Recently I was invited by WWF and this NGO called Shark Savers.
That's right.
Together with, now she's a minister, Minister Yubi In for the environment and energy. Both of us committed that we would not attend any events where we are officiating, where they are going to serve shark's fin. So, you know, if you Google Shark Savers as well as Wedding Without Fins, you'll be able to see a lot of the good work that they've done. And so far, I've managed to, I think, keep on track. I attended an event in my constituency last week, and before I went, I did specifically tell the organisers, no shark's fin, and, you know, they agreed.
So, Kenming, is that still... has that actually trickled down now? As in, are more and more Chinese people at weddings going, okay, we don't need shark's fin? I mean, is that something that's happening?
Actually, I think the younger generation, they don't really have a, you know, preference or liking for shark's fin. But many times, their parents are paying for the wedding.
Yeah.
So the parents are the ones actually we have to influence to say that, look, it's okay. You know, you can order something else that, you know, could be seen as equally expensive, quote unquote. And it's fine not having shark's fin. I think that's the kind of buy-in that we want from the older generation.
And, you know, it's worth saying because apparently, and I was reading about this, every time there is a shark movie out, people get kind of freaked out. And then the incidences of attacks on sharks go up.
Attacks on sharks or attacks on people who were attacked by a bit of seaweed they thought was a shark.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Yeah, but I think... for this movie, it's probably not going to, you know, unleash another round of, you know, fear of sharks the same way that Jaws did.
No, yeah. I'm just not getting in any water that's deeper than my bathtub for a while after this. There's just scenes of looking down and you see that murkiness and it's like, no.
I'm still okay. No, I just imagine Jason Statham and like, okay, I can be like him and I can swim away from the shark.
You've already got the bald head for
exactly,
it, my friend.
Exactly, yes. Maybe not the body, but, you know, the bald head is okay.
Yeah. Just keep running.
Just keep running.
It'll get there. Okay, so now that we have you here, let's talk about the TPPA. No, I'm joking.
No, it's called the CPTPP now, yes.
CTPTP?
Yes. Or the PTPTN or some other acronym that we don't know what it stands for.
The MEG is now in cinemas. Go check it out and let us know what you think. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
And I'm at I Am Okay Man.
All right. Ong Kian Ming, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here with us today.
Thanks for inviting me, and I hope that I can be invited to watch the next installment of The Meg with you guys.
Yeah. In about 10 years.
You can come in before that if you want.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.